Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. That comes in handy, especially for folks who have family or relatives outside the listening area who might be interested in learning more about your financial choices. You can tell them to listen online at wdiy.org. Today is August 26, 2015. The markets were up today. The Dow closing at 16,285, the NASDAQ at 4697, and the S&P at 1940. Tonight, I have Tom Riddle, CPA, CFP, and President of Valley National Financial Advisors, joining me to discuss retirement options, particularly with lump sum pensions. Lump sums or pensions? Let me rephrase that. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Judy Ann's in the studio with us this evening, and we'll answer your calls, ask you to mute your radio so you can talk to us without confusion. You can talk live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give her the question. She'll write it down, bring it into the studio, and we'll do our best to answer it. While I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and we'll do our best to answer them. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. So the number tonight, 610-758-8810. And I know it is a lovely evening, and many of you may want to go outside and eat your dinner, but this is an important topic, especially for folks who have pensions or have the option of continuing a pension or taking a lump sum. So again, the phone number 610-758-8810, and you can also send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. So we are discussing the differences of a lump sum payment in lieu of a pension and how one makes that decision. So we are going to talk with Tom Riddle. He is the CPA, is a CPA, CFP, and president of Valley National Financial Advisors, a group of independently owned businesses, which Tom started in the Lehigh Valley 30 years ago. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Hi, Laura. It's great to be here.
And
again.
I was just going to say, Tom's an old pro at this now. So, Tom, for those folks who may be new listening to the show, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, Lori, my wife, Joanne, and my two daughters and their husbands and my two grandsons, we all live in the Lehigh Valley, different houses. And 30 years ago, you're right, 30 years ago this Friday, the regulatory people told me I was open. I was ready to do business. And interestingly enough, one of my very first clients who walked in the door asked me about lump sum versus pension annuities.
So people were having these considerations even 30 years ago.
That's right.
And we are starting to see more conversations about those options again in our local community. We have some folks who used to work with Lucent, and prior to that it was... was it General Electric all the way through?
Western Electric.
Now Alcatel-Lucent. So we're seeing some folks have options to take a lump sum versus a pension, and they're kind of struggling with those decisions. But there's probably even some other organizations locally. Do you want to talk a little bit about your experience with that? You said 30 years ago you had, so kind of tell us how that's evolved.
Interestingly, 30 years ago when my first prospect walked through the door and wanted me to evaluate this question about should I take a lump sum amount or should I take it out in a monthly annuity, I looked around in the financial marketplace at that time in 1985 looking for computer software to help analyze the whole topic and the whole situation. There was none. I couldn't find any software, so I wrote my own program. So I had to figure out exactly how these numbers were put together, the calculations, and so I know the whole area well, because I've been helping scores, if not hundreds, of people make this decision over the last 30 years.
Well, I should add that you were a math major at Lafayette College and went on to get your MBA at Lehigh University.
Yes.
So hence why Tom likes Excel spreadsheets and figuring out calculations. I say his brain's like a calculator. But Tom, some people might not even understand the term pension or lump sum. So could you take a minute and talk about what is a traditional pension? Sometimes people refer to those as a defined benefit. Can you talk about what that looks like and then what a lump sum might be?
Yes. Well, you're right that many companies in the Lehigh Valley and elsewhere have been converting from defined benefit plans to something called defined contribution plans or lump sum. And the whole idea behind this is in a defined benefit plan, there is a monthly benefit that you earn by working at the company, and that benefit is paid to you in the form of a monthly pension check, or what we sometimes call a monthly annuity. And that is dependent upon a number of factors, your compensation over time, the number of years, and a whole bunch of other factors involving Social Security and different things. So the calculation determines through a formula how much your monthly benefit will be from the company, and that's called the defined benefit plan. Now, in a lump sum, the company gives you an opportunity to take out one payment, one large payment up front, and waive all future monthly payments made to you. That lump sum calculation is pretty complicated, but it's based upon the very issue about how much in monthly payments would you receive for the rest of your life, and add all of those up and figure in there's a cost of money over time. In other words, a dollar received today is worth more than a dollar received next year, and so on. And these future payments are discounted, that's the process where you figure out what the cost of money is, into a present value amount of money that is the equivalent, actuarially, of receiving all these monthly payments for the rest of your life.
So they factor in some life expectancy factor, and then when you say they discounted and the cost of money and time value, we're talking about like an interest rate that they apply to it in some respect.
Yeah, I might add that the company does not just come up with these factors out of the clear blue sky. The Department of Labor and the IRS and Congress over the years have set up the formulas that are used to do the computation of the lump sum. The company benefit plan or the company pension plan calculates the amount of money that you're due every month if you were to take the monthly pension. But when it comes to the calculation of the lump sum, there's a prescribed formula that the company must use. There's a little wiggle room in some areas, but not much. And the formula calculates a lump sum for each individual employee based upon their defined benefit that they are to receive if they would take the monthly pension.
Okay, so folks, people in the community who may have a decision to make about whether or not to continue with a pension, which is a known amount of money each month. It's a defined benefit, a defined amount that you can get each month over some prescribed life expectancy calculated when you were, you know, first retiring, versus taking a lump sum, which is also a calculation that's done based on some prescribed rates and guidelines from various oversight entities. how do we go about making a decision? Do we keep taking that monthly amount, or do we take this lump sum, this check that we would get in hand? It's not as simple as it seems. So we're going to go through how someone makes that decision and talk about all the areas and how this might apply to you. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Tom Riddle, president of Valley National Financial Advisors. He's also a CPA, CFP, and mental calculator. We are talking about the decision between taking a pension or lump sum, if you're offered that option, and what goes into that decision making. But before we do that, I want to talk about what employer materials may be provided as far as educational materials, but then how do you use those and then apply them to your life, because we all have unique circumstances. So we're going to talk about what the employer may be providing in just a moment. If you have questions, the number this evening is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable with that, you can give your question to Judy Ann. She'll write it down and she'll bring it into the studio. Questions could also be sent through yourfinancialchoices.com. So Tom, I would imagine if some of the employers may have reasons or incentives for why they would want to convert from a defined benefit plan to a lump sum option, there must be some reasons why they would want to do that. So when they are offering that, I imagine they can't just say to the employees, here, what do you want to do, lump sum or pension? So do they give them some materials that might be helpful in making those decisions?
Yes, Lori, I've noticed over the last 30 years of working in this area that employers have really ramped up the amount of information they're giving their employees to make this decision. And they have, first of all, a disclosure package that's prescribed by the Department of Labor and then Internal Revenue Service about all the tax ramifications of doing this and a number of the actuarial assumptions and things like that. So we've seen the companies expand beyond that and provide much more education in the form of self-learning and, in other cases, classes that can be attended, and also some personalized one-on-one advice that's given by outside firms that are hired to do this by companies.
Okay, and one of the things you mentioned was tax ramifications. And I think that one of the things that first comes to mind when someone hears, you know, monthly pension versus lump sum distribution, they think automatically it may mean that they're taking a lump sum and it's getting taxed first. So while we're still in the beginning of the show, I want to first address that. And then let's talk about, no matter what kind of educational materials they've been given, still applying the decision factors for them individually. So let's talk about that in a minute. But first, talk about the lump sum. When we think of tax ramifications, I don't want people to hear the first 15 minutes of the show and be scared that the decision means they're going to take a lump sum and it's all going to get taxed.
A great point to bring up here, and that is that if an employee decides to take a lump sum and waive their rights to future monthly pension amounts, that lump sum in 99% of the cases can be rolled over to an IRA account, and no taxes are paid at the time of the rollover. In 99% of the cases, that's permissible. And if that were to be done, then future withdrawals from the IRA are taxed, as normal IRA withdrawals are taxed. And there's also requirements on when you have to start taking the money out if you haven't done so at age 70 and a half. So there are ways to get around paying the taxes right up front. However, point to be made, if somebody did take a lump sum distribution and not rolled over to an IRA, there would be some very large and serious taxes to be paid and perhaps some penalties too. So in most cases, it's to the employee's benefit to roll it over to an IRA and not take it out as a lump sum and be taxed right up front.
Right. So they have to be really careful when they're making their selections and that they understand all of the nuances of how they do that. So they want to be careful.
Right.
Pay particular attention to not only the decision, but then the putting in action of their decision. So we want to make sure that people are being very careful. You don't want to do something irrevocably and mess up what you thought you were getting. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. So, Tom, let's talk about why each person's decision may be different. Can you talk about some of the aspects of why the decision may be different? First, you know what? We talked about this before, and I love that you said in all of your years of experience, people land in one of three options. So first say that, and then we'll...
Okay, so... Yeah, like I said, I've been doing this now for 30 years, and I've noticed over the 30 years that it kind of works out that about one-third of the people that we talk to and seek our advice should elect to receive the annuity, the monthly pension amount. And about one-third of the people should clearly take the lump sum and waive their future defined benefit monthly payments. And about a third of the people fall in between where it's really, really difficult to make a decision. And so over the years, you know, working with so many different people, I've developed a worksheet to gather the information that I think we need to gather to help clients make this decision. And then we also have developed a worksheet to analyze the information that's given to us to come up with whether or not, you know, which category they fit into, take the lump sum or not, or we're still at a question mark.
Okay. So let's start with one of the elements that you might first look at. And you had said how the pension is calculated could be based on someone's life expectancy. So let's talk about that factor first.
Okay. The first thing we do look at for a client is we talk to the client about longevity. If a client has a normal life expectancy, let's start over. Let's say a client has a much longer than expected life expectancy. That is that their life expectancy would be longer than the table that's used to make this calculation, and there is a table, and I have it in my information. If the client is in great health and has a family history of longevity, that by itself, if we were to only look at this one factor, would lead us to believe that the client should be normally more better to take the monthly annuity and not the lump sum if they're in really good health.
So, for example, if someone's 70, let's say there's a member of my family that's 70, and I'm looking at their life expectancy according to the table, and it's 16 years. But all the females in my mother's family, who I will take after, all the females live to 94.
That's right.
So 16 years of life expectancy on 70 would take me to 86. But if everyone's living till 94, chances are that monthly pension amount might look better for me.
That's right, because the table that was used to do the computation of the lump sum assumed that you would only live to be 86, so only 16 years of payments were going to be used in that computation. And if you did take the monthly pension and did live to 94, you would get 8 more years of pension payments, and that's 8 more years than what was used to calculate the lump sum.
Okay. All right. Now, there's several more factors that we want to look at. We're going to talk about those when we come back from our next break. Folks, if you are thinking about a lump sum or a pension or have other questions regarding some of your retirement decisions, and one of the other items that we know will factor into these kinds of decisions is your risk tolerance for investment allocation, etc. So we've seen a lot of volatility in the market, and that could be one of those factors in making this decision. If you have any questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is Lori Siebert, your host, and I have in the studio with me this evening Thomas Riddle, President of Valley National Financial Advisors, CPA CFP. We are talking about choosing between a pension, defined benefit pension, or a lump sum. Should that be offered to you? If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And folks who currently have pensions at companies may be listening, and you may not have been offered a lump sum at this point, but at some point it may be offered to you. So this could be applicable to you as well. Anyone who has a defined benefit may have this decision come up depending on what their employer decides to do. So we're talking about some of the considerations in making this decision. One of the things we just talked about was life expectancy is one of the considerations, because the tables used to factor in what that lump sum value is, it's based on what your current pension is, what your expected life expectancy might be, and some assumed interest rate. And the factors applied take that annual annuity amount, bring it back to a present value to come up with a lump sum amount. And if you have longevity longer than what the life expectancy tables might be, then that might be one reason why an annuity option might continue to look good for you. One other thing that happens with pensions, though, is sometimes the pension isn't just based on your life expectancy. You may have a spouse. So a pension option you may have taken was a survivor option. We call that a joint with rights with survivor. Could be 50% survivor, 100% survivor. So, Tom, when we're looking at life expectancy, how do we factor in what benefit a spouse may be entitled to as well in this decision?
Well, there is a formula that your particular pension plan uses for calculating the benefit for you and your spouse, and it's based upon what the Department of Labor says that the company has to do in the way of survivor benefit, and it's a 50% survivor for the spouse. In fact, nowadays, if a pension election is made other than joint with 50% survivor, the spouse has to sign off on that. And typically what we do is we ask a series of health questions to not only the employee of the company, but also the spouse. And the questions are the same for both, but what we're trying to do is establish the life expectancy for both parties, and we ask questions to each about what the conditions are that they have now, what they've had in the last 5 years for both the husband and spouse. I should say participant
yes,
and spouse.
Yes, participant.
Participant and spouse.
Mm-hmm.
as well as what the medications that are being taken now, the dosage, and why they're being taken. And then we go into the health history of the family for both the participant and the spouse.
Okay. Folks, if you have questions, we're talking about the considerations in this decision. The phone number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810 or through yourfinancialchoices.com. So other considerations, Tom, what else do we need to look at besides life expectancy, longevity, that of both the participant and spouse?
Well, we do know that every individual is unique. It's almost like this decision that's being made is unique for you, and your situation is so unique we think of it as your fingerprint. You have a set of financial situation and cash flow and financial needs make you unique. So we actually have about 10 criteria, just like your fingerprints. You have 10 fingerprints. And the first couple involve life expectancy, but then we also take a look at your need for getting that routine check every month. If you are living on that pension now, and you're living on the pension and Social Security and just making ends meet, then it's going to be difficult for you to take a lump sum because that would result in perhaps a lower monthly amount. It's difficult to make that generalization, but it's the case where we do look at the amount of money that's needed every month to make ends meet and compare that to the pension and Social Security income and other income coming in from the within the household.
Okay, so one of the things that folks should be thinking about is making sure they understand what their living expenses are.
Right, and like I said, if the pension is needed to make ends meet, that would lean us toward recommending, just based upon this one factor, taking the monthly pension instead of the lump sum.
Okay, so what we're going to continue to do is look at these considerations and kind of talk about which leans which way. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of this, when we've gone through the 10 fingerprints, we're going to kind of have an idea and we're going to look to see which way's leaning more one direction or the other. In the end, kind of, and then do a brain check to see if that works for folks. So we talked about the longevity and life expectancy, the routine living expenses, if their Social Security and pension are just covering it, versus maybe they don't need their pension. That could lean the other direction. What about future expenditures? Because sometimes people might say, well, this is my monthly amount. But as you know, we have unforeseen costs that come up from time to time, like, you know, putting a new roof or buying a new car.
If we have a situation where an employee, or excuse me, a pension participant and spouse are looking at making some large expenditures that they're forced to do, maybe it's a new roof, maybe it's a new car. In other words, they need access to money, principal. In that case, if there were no other large investment pools available, that would lean us toward recommending the lump sum so they can have access to some of that money now whenever they really need it.
Okay. And in that situation, sometimes, you know, because now they've taken the lump sum, they may want to be more careful about their cash flow going forward, just mm-hmm. in case, because now they're not going to have access to as much money. So that gives them the opportunity to kind of pull back, review their expenses, and that kind of thing. What about their heirs?
Actually, the effect on the heirs is one of the biggest considerations that clients have trouble with. It gives many people difficulty in making the decision between the monthly pension and a lump sum. The outcome that many people are worried about if they would take the monthly pension would be if both the participant and the spouse die early after starting the pension amount, there would be nothing left to pass on to their children or other heirs. But if they had taken the lump sum instead, the lump sum would still be intact, mostly, and that would be available to be passed on to children and other heirs.
So that's a good point. And when we come back, I'm going to review that one more time. But we have our halfway mark break. So folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can ask questions live on air or off air if you're not comfortable talking live on air. Give your question to Judy Ann when you call in and she'll write it down and bring it into the studio. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Tom Riddle, president of Valley National Financial Advisors. Tom and I are both CPAs and CFPs, and we're talking about some of the considerations that go into deciding whether or not to continue with a monthly pension or a lump sum if you have an employer who is offering you a lump sum option. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with us or off air, whatever is more comfortable. Judianna, write the question down and bring it into the studio. And we are going over some of the considerations. Tom had mentioned earlier in the show that people tend to fall in one of three areas. One, where it seems kind of obvious that the pension option will be the better benefit to continue. Sometimes one-third falls into the lump sum is the obvious decision. And then we have about a third of the people who kind of fall in between. So we're going over some of those considerations, which apply to all three of those segments of the population in this situation. But the one-third who really have to struggle, we have 10 considerations for you to go through. We've looked at longevity and life expectancy. We've talked about income needs for routine living expenses, whether or not you currently meet those needs or if you have more than enough. Future expenditures and if you need access quickly to a big lump sum without access to any other resources. And then we were just talking before the break about concern for financial need of heirs. I think it's kind of when you think about having a monthly pension, and for folks who listen to me regularly, they know that I grew up in a house where we always said you could be dead tomorrow. So I always think we could be dead tomorrow. And boy, wouldn't I have wanted the lump sum, because in that light, the monthly pension, if my husband and I both, you know, pass away tomorrow, I think if there was a lump sum hanging out there of $250,000 and we both passed away, then boom, that is gone. There's so much more that goes into that consideration, but for people who may not, maybe they don't need the money, maybe they don't have the life expectancy or the longevity that we talked about earlier in the show, it might be nice to kind of grab that money. And we're talking big dollars sometimes.
Correct. And what I think listeners should know is that if you had access to the pension plan documents, your name is listed in the pension plan documents, and next to your name is a lump sum dollar amount. And that's money that's set aside by the pension plan, assuming that it's fully funded for you to be paid out in a monthly amount to last until your life expectancy ceases. So there is a dollar amount next to your name, and that's the dollar amount that we're talking about in this lump sum. If a participant and or spouse has no children, then or no heirs that they really want to make sure they benefit, then that would lead us to recommend, just based upon this one factor, that they take the annuity monthly pension amount.
Okay. We have a caller on line one. Carolyn, can you hear me?
I can, Lori. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. How can we help you?
I have a question about how you, it's a little off topic, how about dividing up assets in a in planning for estate, to distribute an estate. I'm sorry. Why am I nervous?
So you're talking about doing some estate planning, and how might you divide assets in your estate planning?
Right, exactly. Now, like my Roth IRAs, I would want to go to the family members. I got that from one of your other shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, would you divide that up, like, percent-wise, like 33% to one person, and, you know, if you have three people, everybody gets equal, if that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you would do that?
Yep.
Okay, and then if you have other assets and you want to give to a charity, would it be a dollar amount, or would it be more of a percent that you would look at setting it up?
Okay, there's a number of different things you can do, and as I always have to say, you know, seek legal advice from your attorney. But as you mentioned, Roth IRAs, I love giving to, you know, individuals, family members. If someone's charitably inclined, I'd rather have them give something else to charity if you also want to benefit family members. And the reason is Roth IRAs are income tax free. So if you have family members you want to pass assets to, I love passing income tax-free assets. When we talk about giving money to charity, I typically like to look first as to whether you have taxable accounts, such as an individual IRA or a 401k, that if you're so charitably inclined that you would want to benefit them in a significant way, you could certainly name them as a beneficiary and do that by either a percentage. So let's pretend we have a $100,000 IRA and we'd like to give $50,000 to a charity. Well, we could say 50% to the charity and 50% to, you know, some other individual or number of individuals. And that's great because it's passing a taxable asset. And when we have beneficiary designations, that passes outside of our will. It's a non-probate event and it passes outside of our will. When I see people give specific dollars to charity in their will, they have to realize that that's coming out of typically the top of the estate. And if there's cash in the estate and there's IRAs or other taxable kind of accounts, the charity money, specific dollars, go out first. So the other reason I like naming charities on IRAs is because you can always change the beneficiary, whereas if you name a specific amount to a charity in your will and you change your mind about that charity, you have to go modify your document. You have to do a codicil or an amendment or something like that. If you want to give a certain dollar amount to the charity and you're not sure percentages work, one of the things you could do is carve out a separate account out of your IRA. So let's say you wanted it to be $50,000 today, and you know that your IRAs may grow. You could actually set aside $50,000 in a separate account for the charity and make it 100% beneficiary to the charity. And then if that account grows, let's say that account grows from 50 to 60, and you wanted to keep it at 60, you could always take your required minimum distributions out of that account, or you could move that money over to the other IRA. So you want to sit down with a pencil and paper and kind of think about what you really want it to look like in dollars, and then, you know, affect that somehow, either through beneficiary designations or through your will. And, you know, if someone wants to do everything to charity, then that works great through a will as well. Did that help?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That was so well put. One last quick question. What if you have an asset such as a house
mm-hmm.
that is going to basically go to the estate, and then that would be divided up as well?
A house?
Because typically I think you don't want to gift the house to person because they might not want it.
Right. So typically if a house, you know, sometimes joint with spouse, and then so it passes automatically to the spouse, and then at the second to die, if it's not titled in any other joint ownership, it would typically just become part of your estate, part of the residue, and your will would direct what your executor can and cannot do with that house. And maybe you have a nephew that you love and you'd want him to have first dibs on the house. You could always say, you know, first offer the house to, you know, little Johnny. And if Johnny doesn't want it, then it becomes part of my estate and then just gets sold and distributed as you direct, you know, later on for other beneficiaries.
Okay, terrific.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right,
so
thanks for calling,
much.
Carolyn.
And I just want to say what a great asset you and the show is to the community for being able to reach out to somebody and really learn about this stuff because it is so important.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We also had Jim called off air, and he said he and his spouse are each participants in, I suppose, a pension plan. They're divorced but live together. They have 8 children and some grandchildren. All their kids are grown. Late 50s. 2 mortgages almost paid. Any suggestions? What about the idea of one taking the lump sum and one taking the pension payment? So it sounds like, yeah, they're both participants in a plan. This is interesting. They're a divorced couple. It sounds like they get along really well.
Are you assuming that they are divorced from each other and still living together?
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, they're divorced but live together. Oh, they have 8 children, so maybe they weren't married to each. I was thinking they were married to each other and divorced and still living together. You read it that they're both divorced from other people,
right,
and now living together. Okay, good. Well, either way. So
mm-hmm.
They're late 50s. They have 2 mortgages, but they're almost paid, so their cash flow will be freed up mm-hmm. soon. What about one idea of taking the lump sum, one taking the pension? I know what you're going to say, Tom.
Well, I think there's some other factors that should be considered, and unfortunately, we don't have all the information about these two. But one of the first things I would ask is, what is their health and what's their family history? And would we expect them to live beyond the life expectancy that's in the table or not? And by the way, for those people that are not sure, I've recommended a number of people go to visit their doctor, you know, their family doctor, and tell their family doctor, look, I have to make an important pension decision, and I've got to know about my health. Do you think I will live beyond my normal life expectancy or not? Get the doctor. If you're seeing a doctor for many years, that would be the best person to give you an idea whether you have a normal life expectancy or not. So in this particular case, if both of these two individuals we're talking about, let's say, had a poor health condition, then we would be thinking a lump sum would be the best way because there's many heirs involved. If they both had a great health history and longevity within their family, then there's some other considerations which we're going down through right now. So we would have to know more about their situation. And it might be the case that after you get all the facts, that one might take the lump sum, one might take the monthly annuity, but it would be based upon some other factors that we are not aware of at this point.
And each of your own circumstances, I would add as well, Jim, because, you know, if divorced once before, you know, you want to make sure that you're individually making the correct decision for each of your own circumstances. And, you know, as we're going through the last quarter of the show, we're going to talk about the other considerations as well. And I'm going to try to accelerate us getting those in so that we cover all of them. But we did have another caller call in. Teresa from Orfield called, and she said that she's being encouraged to consider purchasing an annuity with some of her IRA funds. But she's heard bad things in the past about annuities. How should she evaluate this option to decide? Do you have some advice for her?
Annuities are very complicated, and that's why you receive a booklet about an inch thick whenever somebody recommends that to you. And my experience over 30 years that, you know, annuities sometimes work, but in many cases they don't, and I think you should thoroughly understand exactly how that annuity works before you make a decision to go that way, because they're very complicated, and frequently the expense burden is higher on an annuity than with other investment vehicles.
Okay. And sometimes you can't access them always the same way.
That's correct. There are some restrictions on accessing the principal, too.
Okay. So I want our listeners to hang on for the last 15 minutes as well, because we're going to talk about the rest of the considerations, and some of them very important, especially in light of what we've been seeing in the markets the last couple of days. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're tuned to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. Serving the Lehigh Valley. This is Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. Currently 77 degrees in the Lehigh Valley tonight, going down to a low of 55. Tomorrow, Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 79. Thursday night, a low around 54. On Friday, sunny with a high near 82, just about like today. Friday night, a low around 61. Saturday, mostly sunny, a little bit warmer, high of 86 degrees. And Saturday night, a low around 65. Tom, as I tell Lori when we have such a beautiful forecast, she doesn't get to shoot the messenger this time. She wants to applaud.
Yes. Yay. Clap, clap,
clap, clap. Back to your financial choices.
Thank you, John. Folks, I have in the studio with me this evening Tom Riddle, president of Valley National Financial Advisors, and we are talking about making a decision between a pension or lump sum. Lots of information applies to other areas of your financial life as well, but we are talking particularly about the considerations in making that decision. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And Jim called earlier and was trying to contemplate the decision for him and his partner as to lump sum or pension, and we've talked about the understanding the difference between life expectancy and longevity, income needs for current income needs, future expenditures, financial needs of heirs, you know, whether it's important to have that lump sum available to them in case, you know, both of you or one of you, the participant, you know, falls off a cliff. What other considerations do we have, Tom? Let's give the remaining considerations that we have, and then let's try to hit on those since we only have, 13 minutes left.
Yes, it is complicated, I know, but these are some of the additional factors that should be considered when somebody makes a decision. Number one, the new item is, what is your willingness to take investment risk? If your willingness is such that you're only willing to take and put money into a guaranteed investment like a bank account, then it's unlikely that you're going to make a rate of return that's going to exceed the rate of return that's factored into the lump sum calculation. So in order to beat the actuarial calculation, you have to be willing to take some risk. And if you're a very low risk taker, then you would be advised, if we were only looking at this one factor, to take the monthly annuity. If you're a higher risk taker, then we'd be leaning toward the lump sum. Also, we should consider income taxes. If you're in a family unit that's receiving a lot of other income and your tax bracket is high, there's no planning opportunity if you take the monthly pension amount, no tax planning opportunity. However, if you take a lump sum, roll it over to an IRA, there's many ways of accessing that over the years to provide some tax planning opportunities down the road. So the higher the amount of income in the family unit, the more we would be looking at tax savings opportunities through a lump sum. Something else to keep in mind is almost all pensions these days lack a cost of living adjustment. There are some exceptions to that, but most pensions these days have a flat dollar amount that's paid every month, and once it starts, it's paid at the same amount for the rest of your life. There's no cost of living adjustment. One of the dangers with taking a monthly pension is that inflation goes up in the future, and you're sitting here holding receiving a monthly pension that started early on, and there's no adjustments, and you're having difficulty making those dollars stretch because the cost of living has gone up so much. And if you're concerned about that, then that would lean toward a lump sum. Something else that we should consider here as part of our decision for a lump sum or a monthly pension is some individuals are concerned with keeping money in the hands of their former employer. For one reason or another, they are concerned that their former employer may not make it, may go bankrupt. Now, there is a fund that it was established by the United States government called the PBGC, Pension Guarantee Fund. It is not backed by the direct guarantee of the United States government, but it is there to take over pension plans for failed companies. It has done so for many steel companies, many airlines, and many other companies that have gone bankrupt. At the present time, the PBGC is not in the best financial condition. It's not insolvent, but it's not in the best financial condition either. But there is something to stand behind your company if the company goes bankrupt, and the pension payments will continue, but there's a limit as to how much the PBGC will pay. So the more concern you have about your company's financial situation, then that would lean us toward a lump sum versus a monthly pension. And one last thing is long-term care. If you have long-term care insurance, and that long-term care insurance is of a sizable amount, that would lean toward the lump sum instead of the monthly pension. So all those factors go into play in making a decision.
So we started at the beginning of the show talking about these, 10 different considerations, and somewhere in there we think we fit in 10 different considerations, and how each of those considerations could be different for each person, so their decision could be unique to themselves. But that taking them individually, we said one could lean you one way, one could lean you the other. So when they go down this whole list, or, when you're working with people, you're helping them go down this list and, making them kind of helping them measure this. At the end, if more of those choices are leaning toward the lump sum, then that might be the direction, and vice versa to the pension. Now, we've seen a lot of volatility in the market, and this is applicable to not just people making this decision. So maybe you could talk about that a little bit, because if someone is taking the lump sum, they would have had to take a little bit more risk in their portfolio and in their investment selection when they invest the lump sum if they wanted to give themselves that continued pension amount. Some people might take the lump sum and have enough other money that they could put it in cash. But for people who need it, who need to replace that monthly pension amount, but want the money maybe for heirs, maybe they need it for extra expenditures, they might want to invest it. How do you talk them through what's going on right now?
Great question, Lori. And I've been on the telephone many, many times over the last 3 days talking about this very point. What about my investments and what's going on? First thing I have to say is that there is one thing we can do for clients to help them get through difficult times like what we're seeing right now in the marketplace, and that is, number one, to design a long-term plan. So we have a long-term plan in place. So when these short-term disruptions come, like what we see now in the marketplace, we have a long-term plan that plans through these things. And the next thing is diversification. Diversification is one method of trying to reduce the up and down movements in the market. So if one market does have a sharp movement one way or the other, it doesn't affect the entire portfolio. For example, in our lump sums that we use for purposes of our for investment techniques, what we generally do is make sure we have the first couple years of payments sitting in investments that have a much lower level of volatility. In other words, we're not going to have those invested in the stock market. We'll have those invested in stable money market funds or short-term CDs or short-term bond funds, which will have very little movement. So we have access to the next 2 or 3 years of payments, and we don't have to worry about where the market is today or tomorrow because we're not going to be liquidating any investments in the stock market to make these monthly payments that the clients still need to make.
And it's not even where the market is today or tomorrow. It's where the market is this morning or this afternoon, it seems. People were panicking yesterday morning, and things kind of calmed down by the afternoon. And then here today, things got a little bit better. Could you please talk about the yo-yo example? You can't demonstrate it because they can't see us on air, but talk about the yo-yo example, which is my favorite.
When we have clients who are in a long-term plan we've done, we've put in place, and we have a well-diversified portfolio, we still cannot take out the day-to-day, week-to-week movements, which are like a yo-yo going up and down, day-to-day, week-to-week. But over the long run, it is, you know, the portfolios will act like a yo-yo going up and down, and somebody holding that yo-yo, playing with the yo-yo, going up an escalator. So the escalator moves upward over time, and the yo-yo still fluctuates, but over time, you know, the yo-yo in the higher points reach a new high, and the lower points that's still higher. So over time, it's trending up, but the fluctuations are still there.
Okay. So putting this all together, if someone's going to take a lump sum, they might have to recognize so that there could be these fluctuations. So a good strategy might be to segregate part of their portfolio to make sure that they have at least a couple years worth of those monthly payments, mm-hmm. and that the rest of the portfolio invested would still help them reach their goal or that kind of general interest rate to provide that substitute pension amount.
Correct. That's right.
Okay. Any other words of advice for people in general? We've got about 2 minutes left, 3 minutes left of the show for this decision to kind of sum it up for those folks. You've seen it before. It could happen again, and it's happening right down to some people.
I just think that you have to think through the whole process and not fall into the problem area of asking your next door neighbor or your coworker or your aunt or uncle what they would do, because their situation is completely different than yours. You have to take a look at your own health, your own needs for this money, who your heirs are, and these other factors that we talked about, and make a decision based upon your own unique circumstances, not somebody else. Somebody really can't give you good advice on what to do here unless they go down through all these different factors that I've used the last 30 years of experience to develop and we use for this decision for our clients.
Okay. So some of those decisions, to let me sum up, were looking at the differences between life expectancy and longevity, knowing if you have a spouse, what your current election is as far as a joint with rights of survivorship election or not. So knowing what your pension, current pension option is, what pension option they may be offering you, or what lump sum amount they would be offering you. Your income needs for routine living expenses. Are you meeting your needs now, just barely, or you have more than enough to meet those needs? What kind of future expenditures do you have, and have you planned for those? Do you have other assets available, or would it really benefit you to have some access to some money right now for those? Concern for financial needs of your heirs. Do you want to leave a legacy? Does that matter to you? Is it important? And does it make sense? Avoiding investment risk. How much risk do you want to take? Your income tax exposure. Would you benefit from some income tax planning based on your choices? Danger of higher inflation. Are you worried about keeping the money in the hands of your employer? And do you have long-term care and making sure you understand your health? Tom, any parting words? We're getting ready to say goodbye.
Don't panic.
Okay. And how do people reach you if they'd like to?
I'm available at 610-868-9000.
Okay, folks, I am going to be out for the next 2 weeks, and we are going to have Rod Young, CPA, CFP, filling in for me, and he will be hosting next week with his guest, Jackie Cornelius, who's a CFP, and they're going to be talking about getting back to school. I imagine that might have something to do with college savings or college education or paying those expenses. So that will be Back to School with Rod Young and Jackie Cornelius, and the next week. I don't recall what they're going to talk about, but they will certainly let you know next week. I will be back in 3 weeks. I want to thank Tom for being here. Thank you, John Pierce, for being here. Judy Ann, thank you, listeners and callers. It makes such a difference. I love folks who call in and give us those questions. It makes all the difference. That's what we're here for. We want to educate our community. So thank you so much. Coming up next is Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a good evening.